Would you join me in prayer? God, now as we listen for your voice in these words we have heard from Scripture, we ask for your Holy Spirit to accompany my words, that the words of my mouth may be living words, and that the meditations of our hearts may be your conviction. Through the Holy Spirit, we open ourselves to you, as we ask in the powerful and gracious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So Bill gave me a nice introduction, and you applauded, which is a really amazing way to start in this month I have with you, as your pastor Ben and Annalisa and their family are on sabbatical. So let me just tell you a little bit about myself, just so you understand who is this person in front of you. I primarily work at Chico State. I'm part of the Faculty of Comparative Religion and Humanities. You have a representation in Dr. Hines and, of course, in Dr. Zimbelman here in your congregation from that department. I also am involved in a nonprofit called Science for the Church, which brings together science and faith resources. And I serve at Bidwell Presbyterian Church, where I've been for the past 22 years. In addition, the way that a lot of people know me is through my wife, Laura, who's here in the congregation, and she's involved in the nonprofit work in Chico and beyond. So I'm really thankful to be here. I have only been in the sanctuary once before in front, and that was the joyous day when I was able to officiated at the wedding of Ben and Annalisa, both of whom I've known for many years. So I'm thankful to be able to support him and your congregation during his sabbatical. And as I mentioned, I am a Presbyterian. So a warning, there is a Calvinist in your midst. Now, having said that, I still recognize that when I'm in a Lutheran congregation, I respect law and gospel, right? Law and gospel. Law is what comes from Scripture that convicts us of our sin. It's what Pastor Ben calls the ouch. And gospel is what God does to free us. It is the amen. And so the sermon will move today, I hope in good Lutheran fashion, or at least the reasonable facsimile I can give you, from ouch to amen. And so the title of the sermon, as we look at these texts from Ruth and the text from Luke, I decided that it was just one word, faithful. Faithful. Now, interestingly enough, when I hear the word faithful, I hear law from two different sides. The one side, you might say, is the secular side, which is basically, why stay faithful to values? They can get so often in the way. If you want to win in this world, you got to connive, you've got to contemplate your actions and strategize, and sometimes be a little flexible with those values. And some of us who try to live faithful to values may feel like we're outgunned and outnumbered. So it feels like law that we're called to be faithful at times. And then there's the other side, the religious side. The religious side which may feel like faithful is just one more demand on us to be faithful to God. There's a commentary I was reading this week, and John Goldengay is a tremendous Old Testament commentator, and he was talking about this relationship between faith and faithfulness and God's faithfulness, and he said this: in Western Christianity, there is a prevalent danger, quote, the assumption that our faithfulness determines whether God is going to be faithful to us. You may have come from traditions which quote that verse, according to your faith, be it unto you, right? The more faith we have, the more God will do. But that feels like law. I remember I was teaching on the fruit of the Spirit at Bidwell Presbyterian Church a few months ago, and I was assigned from the fruit of the Spirit one of the nine characteristics, the characteristic of faithfulness. And one of the first things that hit me is how often I haven't been faithful. He said, it felt like a demand to me, that fruit of the Spirit. Have I lived the fruit of the Spirit? Have I been faithful to what God has required of me? What are the times when I have not followed God's gracious invitation to speak up for the marginal, or to speak up for my faith in Jesus Christ, or to stand for what are the values of the kingdom of God? I had to be honest when I taught that passage. The word faithful can sometimes feel like one more law. So let's look at this passage today from Scripture just for a moment. You see, in Ruth, this incredible faithfulness as a non-Israelite, and that this keeps the salvation, the history of salvation moving forward. You know, by the end of the book of Ruth, and I hope I don't spoil the next reading, I think it's next week, she becomes the great-grandmother of David, the line in which our Savior Jesus is born. And you have heard these lines, but I want to repeat them to you because they're central to understanding Ruth. All that you have done, Boaz says to Ruth, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. How you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds. May you have full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. When I was looking at the Jewish Study Bible, which is a great place to understand how to take in the Hebrew Bible, it had one very simple sentence that struck me about this verse, which is, this might be the summarizing verse of the entire book of Ruth. You've been faithful, and God has been faithful, and on your faith, God has lavished faithfulness. You see, God is faithful even to people who are outside the covenant, because another part of the fear that we might have when we hear the word faithful is, well, is God only going to be faithful to those people who are on the inside? What about the margins? What about the margins of a Moabite who's lost her husband and is outside of her land and who has decided to commit to her mother-in-law? What about God? Will you be faithful to that person? What about these women? These women who are following Jesus, who have infirmities and maladies that they're healed from, Mary and Susanna and Joanna. What about them, God? Will you be faithful to them? And the promise of these scriptures is that God takes from the margins and brings those who hear his grace and puts them right in his covenant. I'm getting to gospel, aren't I? See, I've been raised to ask questions, and I want to ask these questions of you, which I actually put in for, I think it's the small group time, if you want to reflect on these. As we think about faithfulness, who is a faithful friend or relative? What does their faithfulness look like? So as I tried to put together these questions for you, which I think are distributed for discussion or for reflection, that was the first question that came to mind. Who is a faithful friend? How is faithfulness embodied in a friendship? And the second question is, when has God been faithful to you? I saw the pictures of where you're seeing God. I think that's part of this, is God's faithfulness shows up when we see God, when we sense and perceive and experience that God is faithful to his grace and his promise of grace. Now, I've been trained to ask, even as a Calvinist, where is the gospel in any message? And the gospel, as I mentioned earlier, is what has God done for us through this passage? What has God done through us? God has brought in the outsider Ruth, the outsider Joanna and Susanna and Mary Magdalene. And Mary herself, as we know from the Easter celebrations, could be called the very first evangelist. What does an evangelist do? Proclaims the resurrection. That's the good news of when we put our faith on God's faithfulness. Now, I think there are two implications for us today. The first is this. It comes from a saying of Soren Kierkegaard, the philosopher and theologian, that I've loved. It goes like this, because it makes so much sense, which is, we live life forward, but we understand it in reverse, backwards. We live life forward, and if you know Kierkegaard, he was plagued by angst, by concern about how difficult that is. But he also had that sense that we throw ourselves in faith on Jesus. We live life forward, and we don't always understand what is happening. And so often, our life is chaotic. And I know if you're like any congregations that I've preached to before, there's a lot of people here that feel deep pain and confusion about what's happening right now in your life. We live life forward. We live life forward in faith. And as we look back, we understand it. And if you don't mind me putting in a good Presbyterian theme, there's a providential aspect to what happened in Ruth's life, to what happened in the lives of the women that follow Jesus, and if we follow these texts in our life as well. So I want to just close with a story. As I was thinking about this sermon today and faithfulness, before I came to Chico, I was a pastor in New York City, and I particularly was a pastor to emerging adults, to young adults. And one of the young adults that Laura and I got really close to was a friend, Jennifer. And Jennifer, we just stayed in touch over the years, and she ended up moving to the Bay Area. She's a banker and investment banker, moved down to the Silicon Valley, got married, and had her first son, Court. And when Court was born, she's like, Greg, I would like you to come and do his baptism, since, you're my pastor, right? And so I went to Menlo Park Presbyterian Church and did the baptism of Court. And during Court's baptism, there was an amazing singer. I think he's the writer of the next song we're going to sing here today, Ken Miedema. Ken Miedema was there. And Ken Miedema, I'm just going to give you a little idea of who Ken Miedema is and what he does. He is a person, when he does a concert, who says, give me three notes and give me three words. I'll come up with a song. So one time at this concert we were at, we came up with like C, F sharp, and A flat. And he's like, it doesn't quite work. Can I change that? Luke, you can help me with what would be better, three notes. But he came up with a melody, and they said, give me three words now. And he's playing along on the piano. And it's like, we gave him tomatoes, springtime, and Jean-Paul Sartre. And he came up with a song on the spot, right? So what's the point? When Court was being baptized, Ken Miedema was there playing special music. And after all the baptisms happened, he said, he started singing about all the names of the baptized. And I remember, this is a paraphrase, so I don't have a recording of this, but he said, Court, never forget your baptism. Never forget your baptism, that today your parents laid hold of God's grace for you. Whatever other voices you hear, God has claimed you for his own. Don't forget your baptism, Court. Now, this was about 19 years ago, if I have the math correct. So as life happens, Jen and her family and Court and I were, we began to lose a little bit of touch, but I was able to go back to North Carolina to where Jen has moved now, and where Court is now on the football team at the University of North Carolina, and I was able to connect with them. And I asked Jen about Court, and she said, well, Court, his faith is all that he's about these days. Well, football, I guess, and faith, right? And so she said, why don't you come to the preseason game, the scrimmage game, and you can watch. And so we went to the stadium, and we went and we watched the game, and he had some great passes and all that sort of stuff that he caught, and came down to the field afterward. And Jen was introducing me to the head coach of the football team, to the tight end coach, to the chaplain. Greg, this is Greg. He's the pastor who baptized Court, right? And Court himself, big guy in his pads, kind of a little bit stinky after a football game, gave me this big hug and just this connection of, here's this person who baptized me. And I hope I'm making the point, but in case I'm not, let me just say it this way. When we put our faith on God's faithfulness, those seeds of faith grow sometimes. And this was a sign of that for me. Remember your baptism. All the other voices that might tell you you don't belong, you're on the outside, God could never love you. Remember. Remember that the God who is the God of Susanna and Joanna and Mary and Ruth, that God calls us to be faithful. And the good news of this passage is that God is faithful to us. May we live in that gospel. May it be so. Amen.